a Bible, you can use that, or there's a table right back there. You're welcome to stand up and grab a Bible if you don't have one. Psalm 20 is on page 391 in those black Bibles. If you brought your own, the Psalms is somewhere in the middle of your Bible. We'll be looking at Psalm chapter 20. It says this: May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious. We will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the king. Answer us when we call. As I was reading this psalm this week, a psalm that I don't think we typically read, something struck me. Something struck me about the audience of this psalm. You know, when you read through the psalms, there are a couple different audiences that you usually expect. The psalm right afterwards, Psalm 21, O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him the desires of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips. You welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. Or the next psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. So often the psalmist comes and he's pinning these words to God. It's a prayer to God. Either a Lord, I am so thankful for you and what you have done, or God, where are you? I am in pain and I need you right now. Often the psalmist writes these words directly to God, a conversation between him and God. Or there's other times in the psalms, like in Psalm 100, a psalm that might be more familiar to you, when the psalmist says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord our God made us. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Sometimes the psalmist is reaching out to his community of worshiping believers, and he's saying, come on, come with me, come worship the Lord with me. Let's celebrate together what God has done. Let's celebrate that he is the creator of all things. Let's come and worship the Lord together. So sometimes the psalmist pens these words, and he's making a huge call out to the people. Come, come. But in Psalm 20, we see that there's a different audience. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Who is the you here? The you in this case is the king of that country. The psalmist has a unique role here in writing out a blessing for the king of his country. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. He's writing a blessing to this king. Now, maybe you're not so familiar with writing a blessing to someone or receiving a blessing from someone, but if you have been to Monroe Community Church before, or maybe to another church, you might have heard words that end the service from Numbers chapter 6. You may have heard these words. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. If you've been to our church services before, or if you've been to another church service like it, you may have heard words like these at the end of a church service, a blessing. They're not just a, oh, that's my cue to pick up my purse and go grab my cup of coffee. They're not just the credits that roll at the end of the worship service. They are a blessing. A blessing. The worship source book says this about the blessing. Of the actions that are part of this sending, the blessing or the benediction, they're arguably the most important and yet the least understood. It is so important because it sends the worshipers on their way with a parting word of God's grace and blessing. This is much more fitting to the Christian gospel than ending either with a command, which it can imply that the Christian life is only about earning God's favor, or merely a well wish, which fails to convey the beauty and the power of God's promise to be with us and to go with us. The blessing of God that we proclaim at the end of a worship service is a promise. It is a gift of God to be with you, to go with you wherever life takes you throughout your week. Literally, the word blessing or the word benediction means to speak a good word or to speak well. Tim Keller, in his discussions about blessing and benediction, says a blessing does two things. Number one, a blessing is to delight in something, to show your delight in something, to say it is good. And number two, a blessing is also to commit to its well-being. We see this happening in Scripture in a couple of different places. The first one I'm going to look at is in Genesis. Way in the beginning, when God created the world and created everything in it. And then, in Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God creates humankind. And then what? What is the first thing that God does after he creates humankind? God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and to all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. We see God here delighting in something, delighting in his creation, this creation that he called good, that he called very good. He delights in this creation. But then God is also committing to its well-being. He's saying, I want you to succeed. I want you to survive. I want you to be good and to have good things. And so here are the fish of the sea. Here are the birds of the air. Here are the things that grow on this earth that will sustain you. God blesses humankind. In the passage that we just read out of Numbers chapter 6, where God is telling the priests, the spiritual leaders of the people, how they are to give God's blessing to the people. I lost my page. There we are. Again, we see God delighting in them and also committing to their well-being. Let's take a look at that. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. What does that exactly mean, for God's face to shine upon us? Tim Keller gives a pretty great example of sitting at a dinner party, and let's say you go to a dinner party and there are like 20 people at this table. And you're sitting over here and the host is sitting over there and this table is full of wonderful food and really great people. You're part of what's happening at this big dinner party. But who is the person that you're connecting with at that table? It's the person whose face is looking at you, right? You can't connect very well with the person that's sitting in that corner. But the person that's sitting across from you, that's looking at you, that's speaking with you, that is the person you're connecting with. And God has a desire to connect with you, to turn His face upon you, and to say, "You are my child. You are dearly loved by me." When we pray this prayer of blessing, that the Lord's face will shine upon you, it is that God desires that relationship with you, that God will be close with you. But in order for that to happen, in order for me, a broken, sinful human being, to even get close to such a magnificent, powerful, all-loving, wonderful God, something has to happen. I have to be fixed. I have to be cleaned up a little bit. And that's where the committing to my well-being part of the blessing comes in. The next line of that blessing is what? "And may the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His grace and His mercy. Because not by anything that I have done do I deserve this relationship with Jesus Christ, but only because of Jesus' grace given to me am I cleaned up enough that I can sit in God's presence and have a real relationship with Him." That is God's blessing to me, and that is God's blessing to you. The Lord delights in you. And the Lord is committed to your well-being. His grace and His mercy is for you. One thing I realized this week is that every time we hear that blessing, "The Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you," we are reaffirming the promises that God makes to us in baptism. Whenever we baptize a person here, whether that's a child or an adult, we are saying, "You are a person who is loved unconditionally by God." And in baptism, we believe that God is saying, "You are my child, and I love you. I'm going to call you my own. I will be your God, and you will be my child." God delighting in that person. God committing to that person, committing to their well-being. Isn't that a gift? That every time we hear that blessing, we're hearing God's promise made to us. And if we've been baptized, we're reaffirming that promise that God made to us in baptism. What a gift that blessing is to us. I also realized this week that a blessing is something that is from God and not from us. In Psalm chapter 20, what we see is the psalmist pinning this blessing, but the reality is that although the blessing comes from the voice of the psalmist, the power of the blessing comes from God. Let's take a look at exactly what that blessing is that the psalmist is writing in Psalm chapter 20. First of all, he says, "May the Lord answer you when you are in distress." It was pretty common in that day for a king who was preparing to go to war to seek out spiritual wisdom and divine guidance, to say, "Go to the temple to worship," and to have a whole worship service in preparation for this battle that he was going to. And so seeking the Lord in that time of distress, was something that was pretty common. It's interesting, isn't it, that a political leader of a country who has so much power, recognizes that there is a greater power. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. This God of Jacob is short for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we read about throughout the Old Testament. This God who over and over again took his people, the Israelites, and saved them from calamity and brought them out of slavery and gave them his gracious, loving presence to be with them. The God of Jacob is Israel's fortress, Psalm chapter 46 tells us. And then the psalmist says, may he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. What's the deal with these sacrifices and these burnt offerings? Well, it was likely that when the king came to the temple, he made these sacrifices in payment for his own sin. He knew he had done things that took him away from what God wanted him to do and to be. And in that day, because Jesus Christ had not made the ultimate sacrifice yet, that king had to make a sacrifice to atone for his sins. And he hoped, the psalmist hoped, that those sacrifices were enough, that the Lord would not hold those sins against him and so that the king could still be victorious in his battles. May the Lord remember your sacrifices and accept your burnt offering. May he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now, this one's kind of a scary one. I mean, what if you said to somebody, may the Lord give you all the desires of your heart, and you really don't know what the desires of their heart are? How can that be an appropriate blessing? The reality of this prayer is that they're not just praying that the Lord give them whatever they want, but that the Lord align the desires of their heart with God's desires of his heart. What does God want for us? What does God want for the king in this passage? May the Lord align his desires with those king's desires. May they be on the same page. May they want the same things. What a blessing that would be. So this is great that this psalmist writes these words of blessing to this king, but what does that have to do with us? What is the role of blessing play in our lives today? What does this blessing have to do with us and how we live out our week? The first thing is to be able to know that God desires to bless us. God desires to bless us. And if you think about it, that's pretty amazing. Because God is a really big God. God is all-powerful. He is almighty. He is magnificent. He is the creator and the sustainer of the entire universe. And he wants to bless us. Doesn't it feel like it should be the other way around? And yet God says to us, you are my child, you are well loved, I love you, I commit to your well-being, I want to bless you. And so we should seek God's blessing. We should seek where God does delight in us and how he wants to commit to us. And one of the ways we do that is through his holy word. By looking at the promises that God gives us in here. If we don't read this, if we don't read the Bible, we have no idea that God desires to bless us or what he desires to bless us with. We have to read it. We have to let it soak into our hearts, into our lives. We have to know how God is choosing to bless us. The other piece of this is where we seek our blessing from. I think the reality of it is that we all do desire to be blessed. In fact, there was a book written a couple of decades ago, probably, by Gary Smalley called something like The Gift of Blessing. And the whole premise of the book is that as we grow up, we all desire this blessing from our parents. We desire this gift of unconditional love and acceptance. We so badly want our parents to bless us. But we all know that not everybody grows up in a home like that, do we? Many of us grow up in a home where we desire the blessing of a father or a mother, but never get it, that there's brokenness there. And so we spend the rest of our lives trying to fix that. The reality of it is, there is a blessing of peace, and there is a blessing of unconditional love that is a blessing that comes from God. Remember how I said that the psalmist is giving this blessing, but the power of the blessing is not from the psalmist. The power of the blessing is from God. And so we can accept that blessing and know that God is in every way able to bless us with those things that we so deeply long for but haven't been able to find here on earth. Receive that blessing. Don't just receive that blessing. God is also calling us to be like the psalmist and to give God's blessing. In Jewish families, it is accepted that it is the duty, the responsibility of parents to bless their children. It's not optional. The parents are called to bless their children. To say to Megan and Henry John, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious to you today." It is our duty to bless. I wonder how often we think of doing that. How often do we think of blessing our family members, our children, our spouse, our mom, our dad, our brothers, our sisters? How often do we think of extending God's blessing to them? So how do we do that? Well, it might be kind of intimidating if you go home today and like start blessing them and they're like, "What are you doing?" And you're like, "I don't really know." Maybe you could start just in your own prayer life. Maybe you could start by just by yourself speaking to God, saying, "Okay, God, I'm going to pray for this person, and I'm just going to pray blessings on that person. I'm going to pray that you would bless them with health and with strength and a desire to know you. And I'm going to pray that you would bless them with good relationships, that you would bless them with your protection." Maybe you could start there in your own quiet prayer time. And maybe that could extend to something a little bit more, that, you know, when somebody's hurting at work or at school, you can say, "You know, can I pray for you?" So often in those situations, we want to figure out how we can fix it, don't we? We're fixers. We know that they're hurting, but what can we do about it? The great thing about a blessing is that the power is from God. And so we can pray a prayer of blessing. We can pray that God would bless them with His Spirit, with His wholeness, with His peace, with His love, with His joy, with His grace and mercy. And know all the time that it is God's power working in their life through the blessing that we are voicing. What does it look like to share that blessing, like the psalmist is doing here for that king? How could you bless others this week? This idea of blessing, I think, is something that we often put on the back burner. And maybe, like the worship source book says, it's because it's just so completely misunderstood. But the reality of blessing is that it is a gift from God to us. It is a gift that He asks us to receive, and is a gift that He asks us to give. Let's pray about how to do that. Dear God, we come